But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an acaso, where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
While we discussed on the advice of the great teacher and what he left to us, every generation to come, he said there's nothing new under the sun. That what has been will be again. In the light of this reality, it is carelessness and foolishness to live your life to chance when you are aware that everybody before you, there were several handwritings of wickedness and affliction that registered their presence upon their life and are responsible for why they could not rise. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord took him in a vision and showed him four horns. And he asked, what are these? And the angel said, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem, so that no man can lift up his head. So there are spirits that register their presence over territories. If you see a common trait predominant in a space, it can never be by coincidence. It is the handwriting of a prince in that space. It is the signature of that prince. And so when you find a whole people under a particular predicament, it is a signature of a prince. And it's only foolish men that think that by anything they can do through the arm of the flesh, they can disband a principality from its inheritance. The Bible says there's no man that enters the house of a strong man and spoils him of his goods until he has first bind him. So in this dynamics of spiritual deliverance, one of the first things you must overcome before you lay claim to your inheritance is whatsoever power that was restricting it in the first place. You must become bigger than what was tormenting you. You must become stronger than what was keeping you bound. And so men don't escape because there was a small opening. Men escape because they outgrew captivity. There's no release date in the calendar of darkness. They don't have a day that they plan that by now you would have suffered enough, so we'll let him go. In the announce, the record of darkness, your suffering is perpetual and it is until death comes. So in the light of that, if you see any man who was once a captive of a spirit and you suddenly see him become free, there's only one explanation: violence. There was a season when violence broke him out. The Bible says, through the fatness of your neck, the yoke will be broken. The yoke will not break because of any particular, sense of pity. The yoke will be broken because you outgrew captivity. He says, and thou shalt know the truth. The truth will make you free. Make you free. Many of you, from where you are coming from, people don't live to a ripe old age. And you can see it already. But there is a foolish idea making you think your own case is different on account of just verbal profession. Mind you, there is nothing new. What has been will be again. You have seen how the marriages of the people around you turn out. Some of them went out. Some of them almost broke the code. But then eventually everybody must return back to the father's house. And you are watching it carefully. You have seen that everybody before you can even go and do master degrees and then finish their PhD. And yet they are struggling to feed. And something is still lying to you that just work hard. Can't you see that the arm of flesh have failed those before you? Can you not tell that a handwriting on the wall has remained undeciphered until a man will engineer an adventure of priesthood? The things that held everybody before him would hold him to. This is why I started this night by introducing it in this light. Because I wanted us to still pray some more. Many of us were aspiring for new seasons, but we have not solved the complex, matters that only priesthood could settle. And so you are feeling like the door should open when you come. But that same door has not opened for anybody before you. So there must be a partnership of both hard work and time. And then putting the investment of priesthood so that man can arrive at outcomes that is not consistent with the narrative from whence he came. And so tonight, if you are aspiring for something that is not the normal from where you are coming from, tonight, if you are looking forward to an outcome that is not regular, it's not the narrative of the place you have found expression from, there must be an investment in priesthood. It will only be done for you on earth as it is in heaven. And so everybody tonight, I want to give us another 3 minutes at your seated position. I want you to travel. Just take the next 3 minutes and press in some realities in your life. Those things you are aspiring for, those things you are contending for, those things you are trusting God for, it will take violence to bring it into the script. From the days of John, this kingdom suffered violence. Only violent men take things by force. This Christianity of ease and pleasure and convenience, you cannot amount to the calling of God that way. A man must become brutal. Are you really persuaded that your parents do not work hard? Are you really convinced? He says to wake up early and sleep late at night only to eat the bread of sorrow. The labor of the foolish wearieth all of them because they know not the way into the city. Can you press tonight? I can't end small. I refuse to be small. I refuse to be mustard. Some of you, you are already bound hand and foot by principalities. Lust has caught you and trapped you as an entity under its bound. But tonight you will groan. You will groan. I refuse to be captured. I refuse to be captured. My story cannot end like this. This is not the chapter. This is not the chapter of my destiny that portrays my final estate. I cannot be defeated. I refuse to stay on the ground. You may have fallen. Get up, brother. Get up, sister. Let's continue. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. in Genesis chapter 1, rather Genesis chapter 11 from verse 1. I want to show us something very quickly. Tonight, my charge will not be long, just brief, to the end that a prayer burden is sustaining our hearts. I am persuaded that in the calendar of the divine, the body of Christ has entered a season where prayer power has been given to her because she is in her travail. She is in the labor room. The church wants to bring forth something, but it will take a prayer, and you cannot pray until you are quickened. He says, quicken us, then we will call upon your name. There is a quickening spirit that is igniting the church of Christ from all regions. Suddenly you find out there's an emphasis on priesthood, emphasis on prayer. Men will pray until maiden dimensions will break out from their inside. You will be praying without actually asking for anything. It's not a time for prayer request. The prayer we're talking about is not for request. It is prayer for fellowship. Prayer for transformation. Prayer to evolve. It is the kind of prayer that can bring you to the mountains of transfiguration, so that you become what you behold. And there were things you would touch inside that prayer. The loss that kept you bound for many years, suddenly the hold will break, because the place you entered, captivity cannot be a narrative there. You can continue to beg. It's only in the system of the world that there is a release date, and there are certain crimes that you have your entitlement of life imprisonment. So there is no particular plan to ever release such a captive. But that is the same way Satan keep people under lock and key. No plan for a release date. And so anybody who is sitting here and saying, I know one day things will be good, that one day will never come. Deliverance is not part-time. Deliverance is with violence. Time does not have the story of your deliverance. Just in case you think, with time, this too shall pass. You know, it's a very nice slogan. It will not pass with time. It will pass with violence. There is something you will do that will make the thing you are running from to start running from you. And it is the technology of download. You will download a version of you that is only with God. You will download a version of you that He knew before time began. You will download a version of you that He knew before you were formed in your mother's womb. It is that version you will begin to make reference to. He says, we groan to be clothed. It is only by groaning you will be clothed with your form in heaven. Suddenly, something will interact with you. It is groaning that made the face of Moses to begin to shine. And he wished not that his face was shining. The whole of Israel could not behold him. So they had to use a veil to cover his face. The technology of groaning. Mind you, a world as carnal as ours, emphasis is not on prayer. We have used prayer to become a personal merchandise. There is a culture in the world. It is a very self-centered consumer culture. Prayer is an enterprise of receiving. God is reduced to an ATM. Everything you want now, it is to use prayer as a means to secure something from God. Prayer is no longer an avenue of fellowship. There's no time where you are allotted a day, and why you went into that retreat is just to know God. When was the last time you did that? What drives us into all night? What drives us into prayer campaigns? It is because we sense the hand of an enemy. It is because we sense we want to push God's finger to take a verdict on our own direction. And so why did the elders pray? They prayed so that their natures would change. They remained until something happened in them. And so tonight, you see, my emphasis is not so much, you know, around what God can do for you. I want to stir a generation that wants to do things for God. I want to push a generation that are ready to be spent for God. It was one of the presidents of the United Kingdom States that says, don't ask what America can do for you. Ask what you can do for America. If with men, a government can come to that conclusion, imagine how disturbed the kingdom is. A whole generation plunged into that same evil culture, self-centeredness. It was James that said, you pray and you have no answer because you only ask to satisfy your lust. It is your lust that is driving that prayer. Whether you stay for 5 days on the peak of a mountain, if what motivates your prayer is lust, there is no answer. Mind you, in the chronicles of prayer, the organogram given concerning this business of prayer, it says, pray in this manner: our Father who art in heaven. You cannot call him your father if you are not his child. So the first thing is salvation. You must be born again. He says, the fervent and effectual prayer of who? A righteous. People enter and start shouting. Do you have a relationship with him? Our prayers have no power because we have not satisfied the conditions of righteousness. Mind you, if you are holy, the Bible says, if the way of a man pleases the Lord, he causeth his enemies to be at peace with him. We are not asking questions. Why is the attack of the enemy prospering over me? That's supposed to be an area of concern for you. Because if your way please God, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. No tongue that rises against you in judgment that will prevail. But then they rose and they prevailed. A weapon prospered. Instead of you to go and blame yourself that my wall of holiness, I have lost God. No. We go again in our lust. We have not corrected what is wrong. We return again in our lust and begin to bombard. Let me keep this burden so that we can read that scripture. Genesis chapter 11, very quickly, from verse 1. Please, I want us to read together as loud as we can. It's projected inside and outside. Please, let's read together. 1, 2, go. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Please tell your neighbor, one language and one speech. One language here speaks about they communicate through the same language. Speech here means the thing that they focus on, everybody is in alignment with that thing that is the object of their concentration. One speech. I'll show you why. Next verse. And it came to pass. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. Listen, this scripture just follows the civilization that found expression immediately after the flood. The flood had come to cleanse the earth of a corrupt generation. And a new people has emerged. And suddenly their interest is to begin to journey to a particular location. However, I want to show you a detail. Please follow me. I'm begging you. Huh? He says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain. Please tell your neighbor, found. So it means they did not premeditate where they were going to. The Bible says they journeyed, then they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. There are four branches that the river that came out of Eden produced. Mind you, when the river was being made reference to in Eden, they could not give a name to it. There is no name you can give that river. They just called it a river, went into the garden to water it. Then they say from thence it parted into four heads: Pison, Gishon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates. They went to talk about Pison, that it has gold, and the gold in that land is good. It is that river that reveals gold. They spoke about, you know, Hiddekel, the river that encroaches around the land of the Amorites and the Assyrians. And what they have is military might. But then when they came to talk about Euphrates, they didn't mention anything about that river. They just kept quiet about Euphrates. They just mentioned Euphrates, and they didn't every other river, they gave a detail as to the landmark you use to know that when you arrive at that river. But when it came to Euphrates, they were mute. It is only in the book of the Apocalypse you will know what was kept in the Euphrates. It was a prison for rebellious angels. The angels that did not keep their estate, God reserved them under utter darkness. It's revelations that then told you that under the great river Euphrates, they were rebellious angels that were trapped there. Physically, if you enter that water, you may even swim and touch the down and come out. You will not, because it is a plane. It is a realm. It's not about location. However, that thing that finds expression around that space is responsible to colonize the culture of whoever find habitation in that space. So men were just journeying until they came to a particular space, and suddenly they say, let's build a tower here. Man does not just have inspiration. Every inspiration is for a spirit. He says there is a spirit. Job chapter 8 verse 32. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth him wonder. It's not only God that can give you inspiration. They were journeying. Suddenly something told them, Stay here. Begin to build a temple. And you know what they did? They began to build a particular, you know, tower. And the reason for it is that so that their legacy can remain perpetually. I want to show you something. It's very important, please. Please, go back to our scripture. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone, and slime had they for mortar. Next verse. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name. Please tell your neighbor a name. They say, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Next verse. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Please tell your neighbor the children of men. I'm highlighting all of these various, you know, statements because I want to make reference to them very soon. Let's continue. Sorry, let's read 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Please tell your neighbor is one. See, it's ungrammatical to put it that way. But that is the only context to express the level of cooperation that God found with men. That the people, you cannot say ah, because the speech is one, the language is one. You cannot ask anybody a question that it will be different from what the other guy told you that they want to do in this place. Everybody is focused on it. The people is one. See, the the outcome of being one is what I want to show you. And the Lord says, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. This they begin to do. And now nothing will restrain from them. Nothing can stop them with this mindset of oneness. With this condition of being one. Whatever they start doing, you cannot stop them again. So God needed to introduce confusion to their midst. And see what God did. Next verse. Go to. Let's go down. And there, confound their language. Scatter their language. Give them different language. That they may not understand one another's speech. Last verse. Let's read together in Akazo. 1, 2, 3, go. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth. And they ceased building the city. Most of the times when we read this scripture, our emphasis is on a tower. A tower. But if you paid attention as we read carefully, they were not only building a tower. They say, let us build a city and a tower. The outcome of scattering their language, the desire that heaven achieved was that they could not build that city again. Is that in your Bible? See now, and they could not build the city again. All kinds of interpretation concerning the Tower of Babel. However, the tower is only going to be situated inside a rebellious city. Mind you, in Revelations, when they spoke about where Jesus died, it's only mortal men that said he died by the outskirts of Jerusalem on Golgotha, right? In Revelations, they say he was crucified in Sodom, Egypt. That the name of the city where Jesus died, Sodom, Egypt. Sodom, Egypt. So that you see why we are talking about spirit cities. And because a civilization was just judged just now, and men came together again, and God says they want to build a city and a tower. I want to share something with you. The princes that be studied the nature of God's, you know, move concerning this attempt to build a tower and a city. And so the devil is the master of, you know, piracy. Once he sees something God does, he duplicates it. There is nothing the devil sees God does that he will not find a way to replicate it. Let's read together. Please, this is the scripture I'm making reference to. Revelation chapter 11 verse 8. It is concerning the two witnesses, the two olive trees that stands before the throne of God. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called what? Sodom, Egypt, where also our Lord was what? So Jesus was not crucified spiritually in Jerusalem. It is two ancient cities that came together. What is Sodom? Sodom is wickedness. What is Egypt? Captivity. It is two systems. You are the only one that think the cities don't exist again. Mind you, if you check what is happening in television, it's only an what has been will be again. There is a Pharaoh too that rules these cities. Jesus died in Sodom and Egypt. They were the two cities that brought the death of our Christ. And so since Satan has seen the card that God played, and he has seen his move, he saw how God reduced this great innovation of erecting a building and erecting a city. And so he peeped into the scrolls of God. And when he heard concerning the plan, Jesus was talking about something he was going to do. He called Peter and asked him questions in the midst of several disciples. And many people took wrong guesses. And Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this one to you. You are Peter. On this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it." Satan heard. He said, "Build." So there is something God wants to build. And immediately, they began to make reference to researches. How to deal with buildings. How to stop building projects. They now found out that the ancient secret is to scatter the language. To divide their speech. The Church of Christ, which will remain the only name I will continue to call the church, no matter how many denominations spring up, the flag is one. The Church of Christ. I'll tell you why the church does not have a strong corporate representation. I will tell you why the church lost power over the years. I will tell you why the church don't have the stature as at now again to speak and shift systems. 50,000 people gather to pray for one thing and it does not come to pass still. 100,000 people pray. Mind you, one is supposed to chase 1,000. Two is supposed to chase 10,000. In the days of the elders, they didn't have number. They had stature. One man was equivalent to 1,000. Two people was equivalent to 10,000 men. Now, with all kinds of bastardization, I am trying to share something with you. And if your heart is open tonight, God will help us at least to find an ancient path. So gradually we moved from unity to individuality. Everybody believes that he knows better than the next. The Bible says, "Who is it that seemeth to be wise in the things of this world? Let him become a fool that he may be wise." Everybody is correcting another person. Everybody is telling the people around them to be careful to not associate with another person. And so since you now divided the body, a house divided against itself cannot stand. The tower and the city were stopped by a division of speech. In case you don't know why the church age did not attain its true potential, is what I'm trying to tell you right now. It is a divisive spirit that entered the midst. You know, it was motivated by lust. All kinds of humanity began to play in. So people began to build personal empires. People became more important than the Jesus that is a pioneer and the author and the finisher of the faith. So a man's humanity, he is not apologetic to display it. Just because you don't like the other man, he will colonize everybody under you too, to channel the same hatred to them. Mind you, you don't have all the virtues of the kingdom alone. In the design of God, he will never vest all that there be to one man. It is so that every part will need the other part. The church age did not attain its full potential because of the reasons we speak about. It is an ancient script of division. We didn't know that there was a dividing line. However, if you are hearing something else, God will help you, because I'm not speaking against denominationalism. I'm not saying there is no need for denomination. There must be denomination because the graces of God upon us has different fragrances. And so you will only bring what God has invested in you to the landscape. I'm saying that if what you are building is alienated from the holistic church of Christ, if you don't consider yourself a small part of something big, please tell your neighbor, a small part of something big. That mindset is what keeps every pioneer that will actually finish strong. I'm a little part of something bigger than me. When men begin to perceive themselves as the compass of righteousness, the map of holiness, the pathway to heaven, then they begin to now make doctrines and do teachings that make... Have you seen... And mind you, today I will not call any name, so nobody, don't think I'm talking about anybody. Have you seen individuals that believe that if it's about scripture, nobody knows it like them? They don't listen to other people. They are limited to the limitation of whoever is speaking over them. Whatever that man does not know, they will not know too. Mind you, the body was equipped with several graces, several anointings. Do you know? The things I want to communicate. I'm looking for parables to communicate it, so that, because I know there are a lot of people streaming on air right now. They are waiting for me to say something now, so that they will cut it. They'll cut only that part and put it out of context. I did a preaching 2 weeks back, and someone showed me over 30 something K views. You know what? They cut only one small part. And when you isolate a conversation from the context that it was had or it was built on, you can make it sound like anything. Now the church age is under serious affliction. Gentiles will move, and we don't have a statue to restrain them at the gates, because we have been divided into small voices. If our voices could come together, mind you, if we even gather for pastor's meeting, at the end of the day is witchcraft, envy, strife, malice, competition. This pastor came and shared one testimony, then the next pastor will come up, he too, it must be testimony. That day is competition of testimony. Nobody will reign anybody here. While we were busy building empires for ourselves, while we were busy building personal empires for ourselves, the church of Christ had been left without stature. So in the day where giants emerged from the other kingdom, we did not have David who could show up. How did Nigeria become like this? How did Nigeria become like this, that a person just said this WhatsApp group is not for religious purposes and it became a cause of death? How did... Mind you, in the midst of all of this individuality, the church has never recorded prosperity like this before. And the church never grows under influence, rather under wealth and prosperity. The church grows under persecution throughout the history of church age, and I have read it, believe me. The church spreads under persecution. If you want to destroy the church, give it pleasure. They will forget their God. These were the words of an imam. Don't fight them with anger. Don't fight them with violence. If you fight them, they will spread. He says, give them pleasure. They will forget their God. What do you use to say God is faithful now? Bank account. The building is rising. Somebody say hallelujah. Those things don't mature believers. Those things don't raise matured believers. It was Prophet Tommy that was sharing something. He was in a church and he saw an incident that broke his heart. A believer came up and gave a testimony about how God used him to win, you know, an unsaved person to Christ, daddy. And people just, you know, we thank God. They just clapped their hands briefly. Somebody came up and said, God just gave him an SUV. He bought it, chassis, tear leather, and everybody got up. They were clapping. A car is more valuable now than a soul. That was just, you know, a test to show you the heart condition of the church. We have moved from spirituality to materialism. And you don't know yet. We are even using materialism as a measure to tell whether God is with you or not. You just see somebody who is laboring, trying to break hard grounds. You say, God is not with this one. God did not send him. Have you seen people just because they are struggling in a land, people say they are not called? What do you use as the measure to know whether a man is called? Mind you, there will be those who have been called to suffer. That's the kind of call of Apostle Paul. I have called you to suffer for me. The divisional wall has happened already. And as I'm speaking now, the reason why I'm saying this thing is because I'm only speaking to my generation. What has happened in the past has happened. Anything that will happen in our own, we can correct it. Those who are listening to me online, I beg you. As though we did not learn lesson from the church age, a new apostolic move started. And one of the signatures God used to endorse that move was that suddenly you found that Christ Embassy, Deeper Life, Cherubim and Seraphim, Equa, they were all comfortable to come and gather under one roof. Suddenly, all the divide that you used to have before, there is a kind of message that everybody is comfortable with. There is a wisdom that harnessed everybody from their respective interest group and brought them together. Is that not what you see in the apostolic now? That you continue to see that the apostle is a master builder. The church is actually built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And God began to harness the body together so that he can have a strong corporate voice. And Satan came back again. And then he repackaged denominationalism and changed the brand. Now we call it tribe. I'm in the tribe of this. You don't know that is how they ended the previous move. That is how they corrupted the previous move. It has started again in your eye like play. There are people you still don't listen to as you are small like this. You don't even know where the whole issue started from. You say, I don't know why. Our tribe, we don't hear this one. Which tribe? I started this thing by telling you that there's only one banner. The Church of Christ. It's only one. May we not repeat the mistakes of the elders. The way to honor the elders is to learn from their life. If you repeat their mistake, you have dishonored them. Now, the devil rebranded denominationalism. Rebranded all of the concept of division. You know what we speak about? I'm in the clan. I'm in the tribe. I will not call names, but you know yourself. There are people, if only you could just play one of their tape, a mighty deliverance that you have been crying for is inside here. But the devil has used something to place a siege on your heart. You rejected them without knowing them. May God help our generation tonight. Mind you, this strategy didn't start here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 3 to 7. Just listen. Paul came to the Corinthian church and found that they were exhibiting carnality in its highest form. People were saying, I belong to Apollos. I belong to Paul. I am in the Apollos tribe. And Paul said, where did this thing start from? He says, I plant. Apollos waters. Increase is of the Lord. It is the church of the Lord Jesus. Paul rebuked that concept. Now, we want people to pledge allegiance that they belong to us. But Paul said, no, don't say you belong to a man. Increase is to God. Apollos and me are doing the same work. Well, if you go anywhere and anything happened to you, my hand is not there. Really? Mind you, this is why we have all kinds of lopsided growth. Some people are like the hand in the body, but they don't know the work of the eye. And the hand will be speaking negative about the eye and saying, every time I see, every time I see. That is the function of the eye. It cannot help but see.
You will say, let's divide the word of truth all the time. Let's divide. What if somebody also say, every time divide? Would you be happy? Every man will bring the unique investment of God to the table. How can the church be strong? All graces must find a meeting point, the flag of Jesus. So you can do your denominations, you can do your individual things, but if it concerns the maturity of the bride, everybody must converge at some point. There must be a particular canopy that we all know that we belong here together. When it's all said and done, we are not different. Some of you have even thought evil about people who have stature with God. I pay attention and I see things that are heartbreaking. And I see our generation being pushed into it, you know, foolishly. You go online right now and put my word to test. Go and check the blogging sites where Christianity is criticized and pastors are made mockery of the most. Those blogging sites are hosted and managed by Christians. Christians. The spirit that leads them tells them that they are correcting the body, that they are trying to bring balance to the body. The Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant? You and somebody are inside exam hall writing. You don't know whether you will pass first. While you are still with your paper and your Bible, you now say, this person is, he has failed. You know the verdict they give such men? They say, judge not, so that you not be judged. It's like a warning. They say, because anything you judge with that same measure, it shall be measured to you again. You know, sometimes I wish these bloggers would listen to me. Some of you are listening to me right now. Go and check the comments under all your videos that you upload, especially those following me online now. Check the comments there. You will see the disciples you are raising. A rebellious generation. People who already sustain a hatred for God, they are trafficking towards you because they feel like you are broadcasting their interests. You will find out soon that who you worked for is darkness, because at the end, the easiest way to correct something is not to criticize, is to erect the truth by the side of the wrong and allow men to see the difference between the two and pick one. That time you are using to say, this thing is wrong, this thing is bad, this thing will not pass, this thing is evil, use that time and teach what is the right thing. Then allow men, the truth can never be hidden. Nothing can be done against the truth but for the truth. Use that time and build truth. You say, Kai, this ministry is not a genuine ministry. Brother, please go and start ministry. Let's see what genuine ministry is. I've seen people who say, ha, the only challenge is just hot. Once I get you, you will see glory. One of them, as I speak to you currently, and of course, for respect's sake, I won't call names. God wanted him to learn, so he gave him a hall. You know the story. That the only thing is hall that he will show. You know, when zeal is speaking, I spend a lot of time with elders, and when I'm around them, I don't talk. I listen more. I don't even have the right to ask questions, because I feel like what they want to tell me, the place they are standing from, if they are looking at my folly, I don't have the capacity to ask the right questions. I'm just listening to anything they can give me. Sometimes I'll go and sit down in an office and just pretend like I came to serve the man, and all I'm doing is I want to hear echoes of wisdom, because I don't want my life to repeat mistakes that I could have learned from people who have learned it already. There are ministries today who are supposed to be working in measures of glory and power, but for the sake of the things that they got into in their conversations against another. Anything you criticize, you can never enter again. Mind you, if you like crowd and you see crowd somewhere, you now say, all these people, you know, somebody said the other day that this is an akazo. I came there, I saw people standing outside, overflow. It's because he's telling them what they want to hear. Okay, start telling people what they want to hear. Mind you, what you have done, you have sentenced yourself. That is the sin against the Holy Ghost. The sin against the Holy Ghost is anytime he does something and you attach and attribute that esteem to another god. They say he performs miracle by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. He says all sins can be forgiven, but a sin against the Holy Spirit. You saw the hand of God. Your evil, petty heart did not agree to give glory to God. You now chose to say there is another technology that brought it. It's not God. I'm advising somebody here tonight, as the Holy Ghost has laid it in your heart, come out of that lie quickly. Follow Jesus. But God will give you men who are following Jesus that you can follow them. But mind you, when Jesus comes to carry his church, he's not coming for any particular denomination. He's coming for the chaste and pure bride. Father, I pray that you stir upon our heart again a yearning of love, of unity. Let me read two more scriptures, then pray and go. Psalm 133 from verse 1, very quickly. Psalm 133 from verse 1. Everybody, let's read together. It's projected. 1, 2, go. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Next verse. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment. Last verse. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There where brethren gather together in unity. That is where the Lord commands the blessing. The place of unity. He says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is there that the Lord God commanded the blessing. Let's say I move with zeal now and I declare a day of national prayer for Nigeria. Can I share something with you? Even if everybody gathered to pray, the pettiness in our hearts, prayer first honors the state of heart it is coming from than what is being spoken. If you want to give an offering, this is the verdict of the kingdom. And you remember that you have an ought against your brother. They say, don't bring that offering. Go and make peace with that your brother first. Then come and drop the offering. And prayer is an offering to God. Our heart is littered with all kinds of sentiments, all kinds of malicious conversations. We have libeled many people's reputation. We have casted aspersion on many people's image. Somebody say, the last time I was in Ghana, before I got to Accra, a Nigerian pastor is supposed to be happy for his Nigerian brother called the Reverend in Ghana and said, I saw that you are inviting one young man like that. He said, yeah. Is there anything I should know? He said, well, just be careful. You see, be careful. You didn't say anything, but be careful is also very wicked. Be careful about what? This is the heart of the average man. Mind you, No man is spared from this narrative. The heart of man is desperately wicked. It takes the Holy Ghost to make you happy about another person's progress. Without the Holy Spirit, if anything good happens around you, the first thing you will think is yourself. Why is it not me? That is how the average human heart is supposed to think. It takes the Holy Ghost to say, no, I'm happy for him. Only the Holy Ghost can give you that one. I was invited to Botswana. All hell broke loose. And the funny thing about people who go about trying to pull a man down is that God subscribed them as agent of publicity. The price has been paid. The blood has made way for me. I can now see Jesus face to face. The price has been paid. The blood has made way for me. Face to face, face to face. I can now see Jesus face to face. Face to face, face to face. I can now see Jesus face to face. Very quickly, wherever you are, inside, outside, those following us online, tell the person by your side, I love you. Come on, again, say it like you mean it. I love you. The elders used to gather and sing, we are one family. One family. We sang that song in FCS on campus. We sing it at the end of every service. We are one family. Soon, ambition will begin to split us. Who has the biggest church in town? This is the flesh. Oh, this thing I just said like this is the flesh. Then you become so conscious. The day you just sense, have you found out that a wealthy man loses his peace anytime somebody gets one more thousand above him? The pride is the richest man in the world. And suddenly, have you also found out that those who have are working more hard to get more than those who don't even have? There is no end to the pursuit. There is a nature of lust domiciled in the soul. It will take the Holy Ghost to colonize it. I want to tie my discourse up tonight. I want to single it down to individuals, not a church as a structure again. I want to show you that if all of us turn our hearts, if all of us have a change of ways, the body will heal. The flesh of Pastor Onu is not my flesh. Domiciled in everybody's flesh is the peculiar interest of the registers of princes over time. Before I became conscious of myself, spirits already know the kind of sin that will prosper in my bloodline because they've dealt with several generations of my family line before me. Have you heard people say in our family, this is our own challenge? Amen. There are people that anger flows inside them like a genetic trait. From one generation to an angry man. Give birth to a little child is already angry. You don't know what is provoking this one. A child just walk and hiss for no reason. Something is boiling in his inside. It's a genetic trait. Mind you, I've seen a child in Sabo here. Nursery 2. He will take ladies to the toilet. Nursery 2 boy, take ladies to the toilet and raising their skirt up. That one is follow come. Nobody taught him anything. Can I share something with you? The righteousness of a generation can flow into a next. The same way a trait can escape into your seed. Eh? If you practice a sin for so long, what you have done is that you have secured warfare for your children. If any of them want to answer the call of God for his life and ascend the mountains of the Lord, the criteria remains unchanged. He that has a clean hands and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. If any of your seed wants to honor the call of the Lord, the thing he will need to overcome will be much. Because of the registers and the various doctrines that you brought in darkness into their bloodline. That's how they give birth to children too, who love God from birth. A child, you don't know why everybody is playing with tire outside. A child is just looking at Jesus' picture and smiling and flipping different pictures. You collect it from him, he's crying. Something is already calling his interest. You can tell that we are not the only ones teaching our children. No matter how much you try to protect them, the world is also giving them a lot of education. face to face, face to face. I can now see Jesus face to face, face to face, face to face. My joy tonight is that a generation is being stirred. Refuse to accept no for an answer. Refuse to accept the status quo as an explanation. The world is already corrupt. Your children should not add to the world. Refuse. And let me tell you one truth. The victories you secure today on the strength of righteousness, generations after you will thank you for it. Have you read one of the inheritances that come with righteousness? Since I was born, now I'm old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Solomon will transgress, and God will say, because of your father David. I will not judge you with this thing. I will use David's relationship with me, and I will overlook you. Can you touch God's heart like that? So that one day your children will say, thank God for our father. There are people you meet today, sit with them in anything, they will overshadow you. The brother might even be a smoker, but the covenant of his father can never be forgotten. Even though he chooses to walk in rebellion, a generation has secured inheritance for him. So there are people that carry the honor of favor. It's like a perfume around them. They didn't do anything for it. It is God making sure that he pays the debt he owe a man. You can make God owe you. God can owe you and say, Kai, I owe this man. You can spend your life in a way that one lifetime was not enough to reward you for what happened. So they have to commit your inheritance to another generation. You can labor to that extent. Many of you are saying we should pray. We should give quality time to prayer now. And many people are just seeking convenience. You will soon know why. Prayer can be stored like a bank. A time will come you will not be as strong as this to pray again. It is the prayers of your youths. They will continue to measure from the quorum of your prayer of your youth to make movements on your direction. Pray now. No. Some of you, your ministry is just to raise a righteous generation. And you have been taking it for granted. You think it is not a pulpit call. There is no ministry as honorable as raising and molding a generation. The devil is focusing and fighting these people. Those who have one task. The war is no longer on this population. The devil is focusing on the children currently. Our generation did not know when Satan collided with us. So the average man grew up, when he discerned his impulses, he found out there were many proclivities on his inside, many yearning, many addiction. It happened in those days where they were mentoring us carefully. I always make reference to us, you know, the internet schooled us. Have you seen the cartoons that our children are watching now? Have you seen the things that they are preparing their mind for? Most of the cartoons are introducing superhuman details. In the name of superhero, they are introducing men who can turn into creatures, men who can turn into animals. There's one cartoon called Pokemon. They are introducing different beasts that can turn into human beings and relate with human beings and turn back to beasts. So when these kids close their eyes to sleep at night, the things that should be a nightmare, spirits can now come and discuss with them, and they will think it's their favorite cartoon character. People don't know that you have not seen Lost yet. Be looking at these young ones, the army of the Lord that have been called to go to that field, and you are ignoring it. You think it is not a big field. There is no reward here. There is no seed, no honorarium. Many people are supposed to be in children's church now. There are ministries that children church, they have abandoned it. How did we know the things we knew? It was because Papa W.F. Kumuyi made sure that children church was an emphasis. They choked our heads up with memory verse. Every December, they will feed us with scriptures. You will enter retreat and sit down on a bench from 6 a.m. faith clinic till 9 p.m. You are going through message to make 7 messages one day. You bombard a child's mind. He said, train up a child in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. I saw many of my friends in children's church. They are leaders in everywhere they are now. There was something they put inside them when the world brought their product. a seed of righteousness has been planted already. Now you want to go and buy a car. You want to pursue wealth at the expense of the children they gave you as a trust. You are the first pastor over that child's life. The formative years of that child is at your discretion. If you turn a blind eye, something will plant a seed. And let me tell you something about seeds. When seeds are planted, nobody knows yet. When the thief comes to plant in the night, he walks away. The Bible says, in the season when the blade sprung up. So you will not know when they have planted something. You will think your child just suddenly start behaving strangely. It was those years you did not pay attention to. That was where the seed was planted. That is why I continue to blow the trumpet for a generation. Those who are supposed to go to that mission field, go there quickly now. Have you been to primary school lately? Did you see what they know? They know more than you who is an adult. The things that they are in fellowship with, it will take the grace of God to deliver them from the pits and the gullies of addictions that they are already on their way to. Who are those that they allotted that mission field to? And they ignored it. Some of you were once in that children ministry. You had a burden for them. Suddenly your eye has shifted. You too, you want to stand and talk big grammars. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Put that burden upon people again. Put that burden. Reignite that ministry again. I speak to men and women. I speak to boys and girls. Scattered everywhere in this auditorium. I speak to individuals with genuine, accurate call for that mission field. I pray that by the fire of the Holy Ghost, let there be a separation now by the hand of the Lord. Let the zeal of the purpose of the Lord consume you right now. Holy Ghost, touch. Touch. Inside, outside. Those following us online, please help them. Touch. Touch. Don't abandon that ministry. A generation is at stake. Don't leave your mission field. Outside. Outside. The power of the Lord is coming upon four people there. Four people there. It is a ministry. Strategic ministry. To go from schools to schools and bring the gospel of Jesus to a generation and mold them from small. Patakapoko safataba prende pika fukumena dubundu fukuzabara sasagila bana atakapo tebia suzupakatabana setetetete pekoto barata shapata kata pakata retetetete pekoto branda fandua kapo peva ratekopo barataba retetetete pa rekata pakata pakata shetetete pa teko baratskia rondo pogonde braskava shaparaketema. Lord, I'm available. Use me. Use me. Can you make that your prayer? Use me. Now see Jesus face to face, face to face, face to face. I can now see Jesus face to face, face to face, face to face. I can now see Jesus face to face. Ushers, please go around. There are 11 ladies in this place. 11. You will be entrusted. Entrusted with special weapons. Special children. Special anointings. Your ministry is to teach them the way of the Lord on time. so that they will not be corrupted and swallowed up. And so from the back to the front, the left to the right, inside and outside, I stretch my hands over God's people. Your womb is on fire now. Your womb is on fire now. Holy Ghost, touch. 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 Please help them outside. Help them outside. Your womb is on fire. There is fire. Please help them wherever you are. Face to face, I can now see Jesus. Face to face, face to face, face to face, I can now see Jesus. Face to face, such as has been given me from God, a grace to resist the spirit of confusion. A grace to resist the spirit of confusion and their territorial initiative. That is the third vision of this assignment, to resist the spirit of confusion and their territorial initiative. I stretch my hands over God's people now, and I release a prophetic and an apostolic mandate to resist confusion anywhere you see it. Holy Ghost, touch now. Touch. Resist confusion. Confusion over marriages. Confusion over homes. Confusion over finances. Resist it every time you see it. Please help them. Help them. The Holy Ghost is watching people now. Please help them outside. Help them there at the back. Don't mind me, I was distracted. Please, huh? There's a prayer we're supposed to pray, and that's supposed to culminate everything we have discussed. Can we pray and say, oh Father, every way I have rejected the ministry of your body, Jesus, every door I have closed in ignorance, every dimension I have resisted in ignorance, tonight first I ask for mercy. Open to me the full weight of your body. Give me the full light of your glory. Things I have never seen before, I believe you can do it. Things that I cannot do, I believe it can happen somewhere else. Jesus, open me up to the full weight of your glory so that the ministry of your body can find expression. Can you cry tonight? Everything I have criticized, I repent tonight. Everything I have condemned, I repent tonight.
Hey.
5 minutes, we're out of here. Take the next 5 minutes and press for prayer power. Press for prayer power. The movements of the heavens, they are giving power to pray to territories, power to pray to individuals. I will not be left out, oh God. I will not be left out. Give me prayer power. Can somebody cry? My life cannot waste. I cannot earn small. Are you praying? Satakaba, Pepera Totone, Pato Pero Kome, Sufala Cabenome, Shababa Barascope, Regate Peracabanateno. The spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer and supplication is here now. Is here. Is here. We will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on high. You are there. When 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 you are there. I can see with the eyes of my spirit. I can hear the sound of a new church marching. Yes, I know. These are the days of your spirit. Nations will be willing. Hanakazo will be willing. I can see from a distant horizon. I can hear a sound of a new church rising. Yes, I know these will be men of power. They are rising from afar. They are rising from afar. Oh, oh, oh. 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 Young ancients, young ancients, arise. Young ancients, arise. Over this place. Young ancients, arise. You may be young, you may be young, but an ancient spirit can come on you. Young ancients, arise, arise, young ancients. There's a river in my inside that is able to quench the world. There's a fire in my inside that is able to burn the world. There's a fire in my inside that is able to burn the world. Can you stay that fire? Peace. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. The devil is in trouble. There is a generation rising. In the midst of this darkness, there is a people without greed. A breed of pure stature.
By God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnakazoMissionInternational.AMI or join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.